one and all, and welcome back to yet another episode of History Spelunkers, your favorite history podcast where we delve deep into the dark and obscure stories from our past and tell you all about what we find. I am your host, Kelvin, he and pronouns, and joining me today are my wonderful, fantastic, and, as always, curious co-hosts. Say hi.
Hi, it's Ashlyn.
Hi, it's Kelly.
Welcome back. How y'all been?
Terrible.
Fantastic.
Amazing. So today is going to be a fun one because we're talking about animals, and who doesn't love animals?
You.
That is slander, and I will not have that be broadcast to everyone who listens.
All animals but birds. Sorry, birds.
No birds. Wow. So, Ashlyn, I know you have lovely George.
Yes, my mini Australian Shepherd that has a deep love for Kelvin that Kelvin does not return.
George is a good dog.
Is that all you have to say?
Yeah.
Hello?
We could, no. Kelly and I could wax poetic about George for like probably hours.
I think that out of every single being on this earth, no one could compare to George for me.
Period. George is everything and more. She truly is. She's the most brilliant dog. She has so much personality. She's so cute, so loving.
She's fuzzy.
Yes. Yet
she's
also
a very loving dog.
Very aloof. You know, she has her moments. She has a deep inner world that I feel like no human can really explore fully.
She does.
Even I have not really fully breached the depths of her inner consciousness.
I've seen into her eyes and seen.
There's wisdom there.
Mysteries.
There's consciousness.
Beyond comprehension.
Yeah.
It's true. Kelvin doesn't see it, but she loves him, so.
Mm. She's a good dog. Do you have any pets back home, Kelly?
No, my parents have two cats who they don't really love. So whenever I live with someone who's not deadly allergic to cats, I might be adopting them. Their names are Jinx and Jenga because we named them when we were kids, and they're sisters and they fight all the time. And Jenga gave me a scar on my nose.
Oh. Wow,
it's a cool scar,
right?
Those are cute cat names.
Yeah.
For me, My parents have two dogs. There's Cody and Jolene.
Jolene!
Mm-hmm.
Jolene.
So, when I was growing up, I had Sadie was our dog. And then we eventually got Cody, and then Sadie passed away, and so Jolene moved in. So Cody wasn't lonely.
Aww.
And then we also, growing up, my dad had a fish tank that he kept stocked pretty...
Stocked?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many fish he had, but...
Stocked is such a crazy way to think of it.
Stock tank.
And then my brothers had salamanders.
Oh, sick. Okay.
Like spotted salamander. Their names were Speedy and Spot.
Those are
cute.
Such, like, salamander boy names.
Yeah. And then I had hermit crabs for a bit.
That's cute. Yeah. Did they have the fun, like, painted shells?
They did initially, but apparently...
But you licked the paint off.
No.
I'm sorry. I don't know why I said that.
I ate the shells.
Took him weeks to get it all out of his teeth.
Yeah, no, it was rough. But yeah, so that... And then, of course, being three boys, we would capture critters and stuff and temporarily house them.
Oh yeah, we did that with the turtle.
Yeah, turtles, frogs.
I grew up on a farm, so we already had too many animals. We didn't, my brothers and I were never really on the lookout for more because we already had so many. We had like five dogs. At one point we had over 100 goats.
Oh wow.
A small herd of cattle. I think like 12.
Yeah.
Two miniature ponies. Four pigs.
Goddamn.
And I think that's about all
it?
Of them. Yeah.
No big deal. Just 100 goats.
Actually, 132 to be exact was like the highest number we ever had. But yeah, so we never... I think if we ever brought home any more animals, my parents would have been like, literally like, die. Literally no.
Kick you out.
Well, we are in good company as pet owners, as 66% of U.S. households have pets.
Mm.
And then, of course, there's the popular ones, dogs and cats.
Classic.
Dogs being more popular.
Suck at cats. Boo.
It's 65 million families with dogs compared to 47 million with cats.
Yeah, notice that it's 67 million families with dogs and 47 million people with cats. Okay, baby lover.
But, what bird is that?
Yeah, okay, I like kids. Caught me.
I'm very shaken off course here. Okay, back on track. You know, pets are just great, and you automatically trust someone if they have a pet, right? That automatically triggers. Are people with pets better people?
In my case, yes.
Hopefully they have more responsibility.
In my case, yes, because I am a better person than most people, and it is because of George, of course. But I do think I judge heavily based on the animal's name.
I have an ex that hated dogs and cats, and that should have been the number one red flag.
That is a huge red flag.
Right? So I think that
hatred of animals is more indicative.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of r/dog-free?
No, I have not.
Brief overview.
Is that when you don't wear shoes?
I wish. I wish. Kelly's dog-free right now, in that case. No, it's this Reddit page dedicated to people who, like, hate dogs.
Wow.
And hate dog owners and, like, dog ownership as a concept. And not because they're, like, into animal liberation, but because they hate dogs. It's, like, this crazy Reddit page where people will literally post all the time being like, I wish I could kill every dog on Earth.
They're,
like, psychotic people.
Wow. It's like incels, but for dogs.
Literally, no. Like, if you go read it, I highly recommend everyone on the podcast, if you kind of want to get either a laugh or be scared, r/dog-free. They literally are dog incels. It's, like, kind of insane. There's also an r/cat-free, which are also crazy, but right. I feel like the dog-free people seem to be a little bit more unhinged.
Right, right.
As a cat lover, are there reasonable reasons to not like cats?
I think the problem, well, the difference is, like, with dog-free, people don't like dogs because they're, like, in the public sphere of existence.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of dogs that, like, go out into the world.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, cats, people don't really have as much beef with because it's like, oh, I just don't like cats, I'm just not going to own one. You don't really have to, like, encounter them as much as you do with dogs.
Yeah. One more tiny thing is their, was the cutest little Australian Shepherd at Juiceland off-leash.
Oh.
And I was, of course, geeking out, but I was like, to be honest, if I didn't like dogs, it is kind of rude if I want to get my smoothie and there's just a dog all up on me. Like, people do go too far with, you know, assuming that people will like their dog. Oh, just because it's cute? Oh, okay, it was, though. And it made my day.
So. They're not wrong. Conceptually.
Yes.
Well, the reason why I'm asking if you like pets make people trustworthy and stuff is because it has been, I don't know if it's definitely a pattern where certain politicians get animals in order to make themselves feel more human and approachable and if I own a dog and I'm good with the dog, then I'm gonna be good with people.
And no one will think I'm a lizard person.
Exactly.
It's emotional manipulation.
On some level.
Bo wasn't real.
All of them, I'm sure, very much loved their animals and had them separately. But also, it doesn't hurt.
It's like the birds are drones, but it's like all...
Well, that's... Yeah, birds present. Aren't real.
Birds are not real. Have you looked at a bird? No way.
See, you hate them, so you know.
Make a tit joke. Sorry.
So, but yeah. But the interesting thing with this, you know, people like animals, but occasionally their political perceptions and views, it has been shown that those will be projected onto animals. And so, like, if you have a photo of a dog and say, oh, this is Obama's dog, or oh, this is George Bush's dog, and depending on your opinions, it's the same picture, but depending on your opinions will affect your view on how you feel about the dog.
One of those dogs is a war criminal.
Exactly.
or both.
And so, we're going to avoid projecting political aspirations because all dogs go to heaven, you know.
True.
So we're just gonna...
Except the ones that bomb innocent children in foreign countries.
George. I don't think all the dogs. George.
George pressed the red button again.
And so, so yeah, that's what we're going to talk about today. Of course, the most famous political animals in the U.S. are those belonging to the President of the United States.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
And of the 45 men who have served as POTUS, how many of them, we think, did not own animals?
10. 7.
3.
Whoa, that's a crazy stat. I guess, like, early on presidents probably, like, had a horse or something. Yeah.
Yeah, and...
yeah, they'd be horsing around.
Yeah, so there's a lot of... I'm not going to go through each individual.
Why not?
What? Because some of them have a lot of animals. Like, some of them had farms. I'm not going to go through, you know, all of that. And there's also big questions about what qualifies as a pet.
I was going to say, yeah.
Like, does the animal have to live in the White House? Because, like, sometimes they live there and then get sent away, but they're still their dog or whatever. Or what if they, you know, are... never at the White House but are still owned, they're just at the president's other estate.
Mm-hmm.
What if they are given to them as gifts and only stay a couple of months, but they are taking care of them during those months?
Yeah. What if they pardon them on Thanksgiving?
Is that a pet?
See, that's, you know,
a pet?
We go through all that. So we're going to be pretty generous with the stories here just because whatever, but for the most part these are animals that lived at the White House or would have frequented the grounds during their presidency. Mm-hmm. At some point, or were, like, tangentially, like, they might have technically been the kids' pets, but, you know.
Okay.
And so, if we are using this generous definition, do you want to guess how many different species of animals have been presidential pets at one time or another?
Oh, wow.
That's and fine. We'll say closest wins if you're within, like, 5 or so.
5? How many species could there have been?
I'd say, like...
I was about to say 6, but I guess not.
I'd say, like, 50 species?
Mm-hmm.
That's hard.
And the thing is, there's obviously probably going to be more because some of them were, like, just generic. Like, say, we know they had a bird.
Okay.
You know, but we don't know exactly what kind of bird or something.
I'm going to go 45. My guess is 45. All right. I guess, like, 21.
About 40.
Jeez.
Whoa!
What's my prize?
Bragging points.
Okay, I'll take it.
They're pretty good. Valuable, you know, with inflation and everything.
With inflation. 45 brag points. Not bad.
So, we'll start our journey way back in the past.
Let me get my bonnet and my buggy.
Yes, yes.
And my diphtheria.
So we start off first couple of presidents, you know, they pretty tame. Washington had his plantation, so he had the horses and stuff associated with that. But yeah, mostly just dogs and like a parrot and stuff. So nothing.
He had a parrot?
Martha Washington did. His name
queen.
Was
Queen. Okay.
Queen.
Yes.
But yeah, you know, a lot of dogs and horses. Thomas Jefferson is the first one, a third president, but he's the first one where things get a little eccentric, a little spice.
Of course, he's a weird dude. Mm-hmm.
In addition to his dogs, he had a mockingbird named Dick, who he loved very much.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
Oh, yeah.
He also had a couple of grizzly bear cubs for a while.
What?
They were gifted to him by a Mr. Zebulon Pike.
Hello, that's my husband.
Pike's Peak.
His no name way.
After. Oh my god. Wait, that's so cool.
So, yeah, Peak.
But only cubs, they just like what they do when
so,
they grew
yeah,
up.
Eventually, the bears became, quote, too cumbersome to keep.
I bet.
Or troublesome.
Yeah.
Too troublesome to keep. And so he donated them to a zoo in Philadelphia.
Oh, okay, that's, like, cute.
Okay, good. I was thinking
that. This is a common trend. If they get super exotic animals gifted to them, they might keep them for a while, but most of the time they end up at zoo.
Yeah.
But, you know, he had this plantation, so he also had, like, the sheep and stuff also. But his attraction to violent animals did not stop with the bears, apparently. Because he had a ram that killed a child.
What? But not the grizzly bears?
Like, we have a letter of someone, or like someone's diary, where they're like, oh yeah, and Thomas Jefferson's ram killed a nice little boy today.
What?
And so they, instead of, like, this was at the White House, and instead of like just killing the murdering ram, they just sent it back home to Monticello.
Hello?
Where it proceeded to kill a bunch of sheep before they got rid of it.
Wait, I'm sorry, but this is giving, like, when Daenerys is dragon. Sorry.
Maybe it's an inappropriate joke to make.
Yeah, it is like, oh my gosh. Yeah, it was a Shetland ram, which are, like, some gnarly horns.
Yeah.
But, like...
That's a lot of murderous ram.
I get it. I mean,
no wonder Thomas loved it so much.
I too love violent animals. That's all my exes have been.
Crazy.
So yeah, we're starting off fun here, right?
I can't believe he killed someone. Oh my god! What was its name? Do we know?
I don't think we got a name.
Rammy, for it. Lammy.
Murderbaugh.
So, after Murderbaugh, we normalize back a bit, go back to just, like, dogs and cats and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get to John Quincy Adams, of number course. Six.
Hot.
With a name like Quincy.
He was hot. I've seen, like, portraits.
Yeah.
Sorry, continue.
He allegedly had some alligators living with him for a couple of months.
What? Wow.
This is probably apocryphal, but there's, you know... people have been saying it for a while. There aren't any, like, first-hand accounts of I saw the alligators in the president's bathtub or something, you know? But,
I mean, I did.
If they were real, they weren't really John Adams. They were the Marquis de Lafayette's, who was, like...
Like the Hamilton vacation- one?
Yeah, that guy. And he was, like, doing a tour of the U.S., picked up some gators... And, like, before he went back to France, he stayed with John Adams.
Just dropped him off at the White House.
Yeah, and so they just lived with him for a couple months while Lafayette was there.
Can you gator sit for me? What?
Yeah. So, yeah, that was not the first time we have alligators. I mean, well, it is the first time, not the last.
Mm-hmm.
Next in line, Andrew Jackson, number seven. He famously had a parrot named Polly, who he taught to speak. And whenever Andrew Jackson passed away, because parrots live for a very long time, parrot's still around, it had to be removed from his funeral because it was cursing so much, just the sheer profanity.
Word.
Yeah, which is like, that's amazing. That's Andrew Jackson's a lot of things, but teaching your parrot to say f***.
He did have an iconic funeral, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I hate that son of a bitch. Great funeral.
Next in line, Martin Van Buren. He had a couple of tiger cubs gifted to him.
From who?
They were from the... a sultan. A Saeed bin Sultan. Sultan of Muscat and Oman.
Oh, sick. Wow. That's cool.
So, like, Saudi Arabia area.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he was... gifted a couple of tiger cubs, and he really wanted to keep them. He thought Aww. They were so cute and dope, but Congress was like, you know, you can't have them.
After Murderbaugh? Nah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they pulled some weird, like, constitutional, like, actually pet gifts to the president are gifts to the people. And said, you can't keep them personally.
Aww.
And so he was forced to give them up to a zoo.
Damn, they hated him. Yeah. That's so sad.
Yeah.
But you know, we continue to go forward into the future. We'll skip a few horses, cows, canaries, boring
boo,
stuff.
Boo.
And then you get to Franklin Pierce, President 14. Mm-hmm. And he was initially petless until he was gifted a couple of animals from an American trading expedition from Japan.
Oh, wow.
Like the first time U.S. and Japan interacted with each other in the 1840s. And they brought him a couple of Japanese chin puppies, which are very small dogs. Aww. And he was known for saying, like, if you had a teacup, that would be plenty of room for them to run around on.
That's so
like,
cute!
Like, tiny dogs. And he also got a couple of birds from that trip also.
That's so cute.
Are you looking up chin dogs?
Yes, I was. These are beautiful dogs.
Very good dogs.
Oh my god, look at their tiny little heads! Oh my god! I need to know immediately where I can get this dog. George needs a sibling, and it is this.
Please.
This looks like... Okay,
fight to the death.
This looks like if you put that, like, shrink face filter on George.
Please, it does.
This looks like a shrink face filter version of George.
Yeah.
Need.
Yeah, and so we don't know how many of those puppies he got. He kept at least one, and at least another one was given to his Secretary of War.
Not the Secretary of War getting the Japanese cup. Chin.
Well, this Secretary of War was Jefferson Davis, who would go on to be President of the Confederacy.
Not him getting a chin.
And
I know he like tortured the shit out of that.
Apparently, he liked to carry it around in his pocket, his shirt pocket.
Well, he did racist and horrible things.
Yeah,
he was like, "Ooh, puppy, look."
Watch me as I
this is how the world
do crimes. Yeah.
Witness my oh god, my treason. God, horrible. That's actually so horrible.
And I had actually skipped our first president who did not have any pets, and that was James K. Polk.
Interesting.
Sounds like a dude who doesn't f pets.
Yeah, he was too busy grabbing Texas, I guess.
I mean, so, is Texas not a pet in and of itself?
Ooh.
That's a honestly very philosophical question.
So yeah, after Franklin Pierce and the cute puppy dogs, we get to James Buchanan.
The gay one.
Allegedly.
Of many.
Probably more asexual, but...
I thought he had interesting. Like a lifetime, like a lifelong partner that they lived together. A
roommate, yeah. Not lifelong, but while in Washington, D.C.
Because that us.
Ooh. But he had some dogs, and he also had a couple of bald eagles.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
As president, that's badass.
Yeah, I
was
he
bald
the
eagle?
First president to have a bald eagle?
As far as we know. And as far as we know, he's really the only one who, like, personally kept some.
Are you even allowed to anymore since they're...
No, they're probably super not. Protected. Like, yeah. You can't even own feathers unless you're Native American.
Oh, word. I mean, that's good.
Like, that's a crime.
I mean, uh-oh, I guess I'm a criminal. I'm just kidding.
Kelly's actually keeping a bald eagle aviary.
Like, it's that serious.
I'm kidding. We are kidding.
But, yeah, they were given as a gift to him by some guy out in California who liked his political policies, I guess, and was like, here's some eagles. And they did not live at the White House. They lived at his family estate called Wheatfield.
And mid-name.
He just, like, he didn't keep them in cages or anything. They kind of just lived on the property.
Sick.
They ate one of his canaries that he had, which is like, sacrifice one pet for the other, I guess.
I would too if I was a bald eagle.
That seems really metaphorical, actually, that the bald eagle ate the canary.
Oof. Especially considering what time period we're about to get into.
Oh!
Because the end of Buchanan's term and the start of Abraham Lincoln's, of course, was a very dramatic time for the country, to put it mildly. It would have been even more dramatic if, in the world of presidential pets, we had not politely declined a certain gift from the King of Siam, Mongkut. Because in a letter that was addressed to President Buchanan, but Abraham Lincoln had already become president by the time it arrived, because we don't have the internet yet. In this letter addressed to the president, King Mongkut offered to procure some elephants and send them over to the U.S. so that way we could let them go free and establish a wild population of elephants in North America. Because that would be dope.
That would be dope. Except they're not really natural.
They were just like, Siam, yeah. The King of Siam was like, I'll totally find some elephants and send them over to y'all for free. Y'all just have to send us a ship to send them over on, because infrastructure. We don't have that big of a vessel.
But no worries, I can get you some elephants.
He's like, I can get you some elephants.
It's like, I got them right here. Say hi. Say hi.
So
I got an elephant guy.
Yeah, when Lincoln got the letter, he was like, thanks, but it's a bit cold here, and we have the steam engine already, so it's not like we need them to, like, carry anything, so we're fine.
He basically called them poor.
Yeah.
We have the steam engine, so
yeah, he was like, we don't need them as pack animals. We got steam engines, because we are in the future.
He said, USA! USA! Gaga!
Yeah, but yeah, he was like, and it is not warm enough. We do not have rainforests.
Yeah, also, like, I literally trying to think of, like, just the ecosystem disruption.
No, what harm could they do?
It's also, like, what harm would
invasive
come to them?
Species?
Nah, it's nothing. They're elephants. They're smarter than us, right?
Some would say yes.
Yeah.
Some would say.
But, even though he didn't have elephants, Lincoln did have some cool pets. He had the usual assortment of domestic and farm animals.
Mm-hmm.
His children were very fond of them. Famously saved a turkey that his son had become fond of and is the inspiration for the turkey pardoning tradition.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I talked about it in another episode of the podcast, and you should go back and listen to it if you haven't already.
myself.
Yeah, but anyways, he was given a turkey to eat, and
munch.
His very kid cool. did not want to, and so he's like, I can't say no to my kid.
The aww. OG vegetarian.
Wait, is this Todd Lincoln?
Yes, I
rest
that
in peace,
right.
Todd Lincoln. He's dead? He died during the Civil War.
Yeah, it is for Tad. Yeah, so not Todd, but Tad.
Tad and Todd?
Yeah.
Oh, so Tad was the one who died.
Yeah.
Abe needed to get a grip.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, he, oof.
He oof.
Yeah, he got oof. But he saved a turkey named Jack.
Aw,
he couldn't have named it Tad Jack? That's cute.
But, sorry. So yeah, I mean, you know, he had, like I said, the usual assortment. But Lincoln's favorite animal was his dog, named Fido.
Aww.
And
that's cute.
This Fido is considered to be the one that popularized the name here in the U.S. He was like probably like a yellow lab or something. Like if we had to retroactively breed him or whatever. But
retroactively breed
him. Mutt or whatever, right? But while they were in Illinois, Fido would follow Lincoln around as he would do his errands about the town.
Aww.
And would patiently wait for him outside of stores.
That's so cute.
And Lincoln even trained him to like carry bags of groceries for him as they walked down the street.
That is so cute.
And he was a very friendly dog by all accounts, but the loud noises of crowds that presidents tend to attract,
of course,
were very stressful for the poor pup.
Aww.
And so Lincoln decided that it would be best for Fido to stay in Illinois.
Aww.
So he left him with some friends of his during his presidency, and he gave them like the dog's favorite couch that
aww.
He liked to sit on. And he gave him instructions that he is just allowed to go wherever he wants in your house. and George. You cannot get mad at him if he tracks mud inside. And if he wants to, you just have to let him pick up food scraps from under your table while you are eating.
That is so George.
And it's like, he's the president. You can't say, actually, no.
And Blinken's like, and I actually did teach Fido to talk, so I will ask him to
right.
make sure that his needs are being met.
But, of course, Abe got shot.
Well, it's a good thing that, that the dog was in Illinois, otherwise he would have
so
been shot, too.
The thing is that, you know, Abraham really did not have the time to go visit during the war. So, but Fido did get to say goodbye at the president's funeral. He was there.
I'm gonna cry.
That's actually so sad.
Story gets sadder.
Don't tell
me.
It's very important.
Okay.
The pup's story mirrors that of his master.
What?
In the way
he got shot?
He was not shot, but he was assassinated.
What?
What? By who?
So, Fido, if he had any negative traits about him, is that he was too friendly and he liked to jump on people. Whenever he would say hi. And a few months after Lincoln's assassination, Fido came upon a Mr. Charles Plank and decided, I want to be your friend, and went to jump up on him. Well, Mr. Plank was in the process of whittling a stick with a knife.
No.
And depending on whose account you believe, he was either accidentally stabbed or Plank was mad that the doc had jumped on him and then purposefully stabbed. But either way, Fido was stabbed and ran off because that's what you do. And then they found him later. Yeah. Very sad.
I wish I didn't know that.
But, that is the story of Fido.
Oh my god. I want you to, like, strip that from my memory.
You want to see a picture of him?
No.
Yeah.
There's Fido.
Oh my god.
So cute. He looks so respectful. Oh my god. He's so cute.
Here's another one.
My god.
I hope that Charles Plank got the death penalty.
I would kill him.
Yeah.
That's like the sad... Okay, well, are there any more sad...
There's some
stories?
More sad stories.
No!
None as, like, poetically really tragic sad. As that, but...
Please lie to me and tell me that Charles Plank got the death penalty.
Charles Plank
I mean,
Plank
he was vilified in the press.
Okay.
They called him, like, a drunk bastard or whatever, you know.
Not enough. He deserves to pay with his life.
Well, I mean, he is dead now, so...
Well, not before Fido. So upsetting.
So, next in line, Andrew Johnson, another officially petless president, which tracks.
Yeah.
Tracks.
But, even though he was officially petless, he did find some mice in the White House bedroom and would feed them.
That's
okay.
So Andrew Johnson.
That's so freak behavior, but I'm for it.
You, like, give them crumbs and stuff, I guess. How do you feed wild mice in your house, you know?
You just live.
You suckle them.
You suckle them.
I do not like that.
You never heard of suckle a mouse? Get real.
next in line. Ulysses S. Grant. He was a well-renowned horseman, so he had a lot of them. He had dogs, too, but he's more known for his horses. My favorite of his horse stories is that President Grant was well known for participating in street races.
Oh, with his horses?
With his horses. I mean, yeah, okay. They don't have guards, so he's just...
That's true.
And he was arrested at least 3 times for speeding and reckless driving.
Speeding!
On a horse. Including once while he was president, he was arrested for speeding. And in one of these impromptu races, he lost a race to a local butcher. And he was so impressed by his opponent's steed that he went back and purchased that horse for himself.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something cute like he made him the White House butcher.
No. But he did name the horse Butcher's Boy.
Oh.
That's kind of cute.
He also
bought his horse out from under him.
Yeah.
He said, what? He said, I got a blank check. What do you want for that horse?
Also, during the war, one of his horses, he named Jeff Davis after the president as, like, I'm controlling.
Like, I'm riding you.
That's kind of slay.
Yeah.
Fellas, is it gay to name your horse after your enemy and then ride him all around town?
So that's fun. Next, we got President Hayes. He was the first person in the United States to own Siamese cats. He had the first couple.
I like Siamese cats.
That's so cool.
They were named Siam and Miss Pussy.
Oh, yeah! Okay.
As one does. And then, you know, the next few presidents, back to being uneventful. Benjamin Harrison, president number 23, had some standouts. He had a goat named Whiskers.
Ooh, Whiskers!
That's a great goat name.
Who lived at the White House and would drive around a little cart for his grandchildren to ride in.
That's so cute.
And he also had a pair of possums at one point.
Ew. Hell yeah!
And he named them based on themes from the Republican Party platform that he ran on.
Okay.
So their names were Mr. Reciprocity and Mr. Protection.
Okay, less cool.
Those are stupid names.
Yeah. There's definitely more fun names coming in. The president's adult son, Russell.
Also, no, I'm kidding. That's a fine name.
Went on a trip to the Everglades and brought back some alligators.
Hell yeah! That's the only appropriate thing to bring back.
They lived in the White House conservatory for a time. I wouldn't go so far as to say as they were his pets. They're definitely his sons, but they were at the White House for a time.
Counts.
Whoop. Counts. Yeah.
Next in line, presidency, you got William McKinley. He's, again, very uninspiring with some cats and a couple birds.
Okay.
But after McKinley followed the true champion of the White House Zoo.
Ooh.
And that would be the late, great Theodore Teddy Roosevelt.
Oh, of course!
My favorite president.
Actually, wait, no, I'm sorry. That's incorrect. He's my second favorite president after his later relative, Franklin D.
Cousin!
Real.
There's, again, some episodes on the more quirky aspects of Roosevelt's life that you should go back and listen to get a type of idea of what kind of guy he was. But he was very well known for nature and conservation. He loved animals. He liked to hunt animals. All that jazz. He also had 6 children who each had their own proclivities towards collecting animals.
Ooh.
And so we'll start off by listing, you know, kind of the most basic what he got, and then we'll scale up to kind of the more quirky.
Okay.
He had 10 dogs.
Whoa.
Oh, okay.
2 of which had to be exiled from the White House due to biting issues.
Not the first, nor the last.
One of these dogs that got in trouble, his name was Pete.
Pete!
He was a bulldog or a bull terrier or a bull something.
Mm-hmm.
And, he was exiled because he had several incidents of attacking different cabinet secretaries.
Oh. I mean.
And on one occasion tore the pants off of the French ambassador. So.
I bet the French ambassador was into that.
He was given the option by his son, like, we need to euthanize this dog or he needs to go away. And so they sent him away.
I think in the United States, if you tear the pants off a French person, you should be awarded a medal.
That is patriotic duty right there.
Yeah. Any European person, just rip the clothes off them, and I think you deserve a medal of honor.
I mean,
just to embarrass them, like, publicly, you know, I think that's fair.
He also had a couple of cats. One of them was named Slippers, which is amazing. 5 guinea pigs.
Hell yeah.
That's a good animal.
2 ponies.
Okay.
Aww.
1 pony had a famous story of being snuck into the White House whenever, by the children, because one of them was sick up in bed in the second floor of the White House residence. And they were like, oh, he's been bedridden. We'll bring him his favorite horse, and that will cheer him up.
Oh.
And so in the middle of the night, the children managed to sneak a horse onto an elevator and get him up into the bedroom. And the kid is like, oh my god, my favorite horse, freaks out, which freaks the horse out, which causes it to, like, slip and fall on the floor.
No.
Which makes a lot of noise, so the parents wake up and they're like, why is there a horse
in the White House? I thought you were going to say something horrible, like, yeah.
No, no, Algonquin was fine.
Algonquin! I love that name for a horse.
He had two chickens, a hen, and a one-legged rooster.
He said, I can still get it.
He had a piebald rat and a rabbit.
Wow.
A pig, an owl. His daughter had a garter snake named Emily Spinach.
That's so cute.
It's really fun.
It was named after, it was green, hence the spinach, and it was as thin as her Aunt Emily, quote unquote.
I want to be so skinny someone named a snake after me.
As thin as her Aunt Emily.
I want to be that skinny one day. Someone's going to be like, I want someone to hold up a piece of paper and be like,
this snake?
She's
Alice Roosevelt, like she was
a lovely, wonderful, crazy person.
So yeah, she would like to freak people out with a snake, I imagine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They also had a horny toad named Bill.
Word.
Yeah.
They had a badger named Josiah.
Interesting.
Or
name.
Josh for short.
Josh the Badger.
Which, like, badgers are mean. Like, I don't know why you have that. But they did. Some of the more temporary animals that they had were a black bear and a couple of gifts that were given to them by the king of Ethiopia.
Oh.
Included some lion cubs.
Whoa.
And also a hyena, a laughing hyena named Bill, who Theodore Roosevelt taught tricks while he lived at the White House for a few weeks before they got sent to the National Zoo.
Wow. Okay.
But, like, that tracks of T.R. having a, like... That would be cool. Yeah. He was doing a Harley Quinn moment right there.
She had hyenas?
She has two hyenas, canonically.
Oh.
I don't know what their names are. But
hee hee ha ha.
Probably.
Sorry.
So that's like the list of animals that he had. He has a lot of animal stories just as president. Like, him being the inspiration for the teddy bear and, like, the photo of him riding a moose.
That's a great photo.
It's Photoshop, though. He did not actually ride a moose because no one has ever ridden a moose because that's insane.
Well, I have.
I bet you have.
I ride a moose to work every day. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was, like, Photoshopped back in the day, too. Like, it was a hand, like, cut
out. No way.
Yeah, like, old-timey Photoshop. And the teddy bear story is propaganda. Like, so the story goes is that he was on a hunting trip down in Mississippi. He did not do a good job hunting that day. And so the people that were with him were like, well, we can't let the president take an L. They went, clubbed a bear and tied it up to a tree. Didn't kill it. They just clubbed it and were like, here's a bear present. You can shoot it. And he was like, I don't want to shoot a bear that's tied up. There's no sport in that. Ha, ta, ta. And he said, no one else can hunt this bear.
That's why he's the hottest president.
Ta-ta. Well, the thing is, the bear didn't survive. Like, it was wounded too bad that they had to euthanize it.
From, like, the clubbing?
Yeah, and, like, the dogs attacking it and shit.
Oh my god, poor,
like,
bear.
The bear did not make it, but yet they made a nice, cute little teddy bear after it because he's such a good, respectful president and did not hunt the bear. He still killed it.
But he... Yeah, it's pretty
propaganda.
Sorry, I was gonna try and defend him because I
you wanna f him?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Bleep.
Next in line after TR was President Taft, the fat one, canonically.
The bathtub one.
Sway.
Yeah, which I don't think actually happened, but it's still fun to think about.
I mean
but in fitting with his image, he owned cows.
I bet he did.
I like cows.
His first cow was named Mooly Wooly.
That's cute as hell.
It's a good cow name.
Yeah. But unfortunately, she passed away pretty soon into his presidency from, quote, eating too many oats.
Oh, yeah. Real.
And so he got himself a second cow.
Why am I crying over Mully Bully right now?
That's a really good name.
It is a good name. But he got a second cow named Pauline Wayne, or Miss Wayne.
Oh,
yes.
And he was very proud of this cow. And in 1911, he decided that, you know what? She's such a good cow. I'm going to send her to the International Dairymen's Exposition in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and show her off. Because she's such a good cow.
This is how I want a man to push me on Instagram. Like,
why do I want to be that cow?
Want to be the cow?
And hey, because she is the Capotus cow of the President of the United States.
Of course, of course.
She got to travel in her own private rail car from D.C. to Milwaukee.
She was flued out.
But partway through the journey, unfortunately,
there was a mix-up. No.
And Pauline's car was directed to Chicago, where the stockyards are.
No!
It took a couple days to find her and to convince the people that, yo, that's the president's cow right there.
That's
but she was rescued.
Oh my god, I was about to leave.
I thought you were saying she got slaughtered.
No.
I was like, Pauline.
She was rescued, returned to the president, but it was a very stressful couple of days,
oh
I imagine.
Oh my gosh, that's the president's cow.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, like, without being like, here's a photo, you know, being like, no, trust me. That cow's too good to be here.
I know. Also, imagine poor, like, bougie-ass, spoiled Pauline. Like, she's used to, like, being hand-fed. She probably has, like, spring water delivered every day. She's getting, like, brushed and massaged. Like, she's living a fantastic cow life. She gets her own private rail car.
Yeah.
She's on her way to being, like, she's like, yeah, my man's flying me out to be, like, like on display. He's showing me off. Like, literally flewing me out. And then she gets sent to, like, cow purgatory.
Yeah.
She's like, hello?
She's
Hello?
Like, oh, y'all live like this?
Y'all live like this. She's like, bring me my spring water, Jeeves. And then she's like, where's my stable boy?
Yeah.
Poor Pauline, that's crazy.
Yeah, and so we'll skip a bit. Wilson, he had sheep that mowed his lawn during World War I, but that's boring. Harding, number 29, he was the first president to have a first pet that was like a regular celebrity being talked about in newspapers often. This was a dog, an Airedale Terrier named Laddie Boy.
Aww.
And like he would host birthday parties at the White House for the dog, and all the neighborhood dogs would come by and play.
So cute.
Laddie Boy would do interviews with the press, serious interviews, where he would advocate for animal rights and the 8-hour working day for guard dogs.
That's so cute.
A labor rights dog?
Yeah. And also, like, just give his opinion on prohibition
gay
or whatever.
Rights.
I don't know, right?
Gay rights?
Did not exist.
Where's our gay rights dog?
In 1925.
Oh, yeah.
And he even had a custom
pride
dog
collar
that was made of gold nuggets from the Alaska Gold Rush.
No
way!
Hello? Where's that at now?
It was stolen back in 2012 and is
what?
On the loose. No one knows where it is.
No
There's
way.
A reward out for its capture.
Bring
no one,
back the collar.
But
it's
yeah.
It's definitely like melted down by now.
Oh, yeah. Laddie Boy.
And people love this dog so much that in 1926, a bunch of newspaper boys got together because I guess President Harding used to be like a newsie. And like whenever he was young. So a bunch of newsies got together across the country and collected a bunch of pennies, which they then melted down and turned into a statue of Laddie Boy and then donated that to the Smithsonian.
That's crazy.
That's so sweet.
In addition to the famous Laddie Boy, Harding also adopted a squirrel from the White House grounds.
Oh, hellish.
Named him Pete, except it was probably a her. But anyways, Pete, And Pete had free run of the White House.
Oh.
Would sit in on cabinet meetings, and so like people would bring Pete nuts and stuff while he was sitting on the table or whatever.
That's so cute.
And apparently Pete and Laddie Boy did not get along very well.
I wouldn't think so.
But there was no tragedy in that situation.
Okay.
Other than the fact that after President Harding's sudden death from a heart attack, Pete was no longer allowed inside the White House.
Damn. Aww.
They were like, finally.
Yeah. but after Harding, we had the only person that has ever truly given Theodore Roosevelt a run for his money in terms of the sheer number of pets. And that would be Calvin Coolidge.
Mm-hmm. I love Calvin Coolidge.
He had 12 dogs, a couple of cats. One cat, his first cat was named Tiger, or Tig, or Tige, T-I-G-E is how they spelled it, so I don't know how you pronounce it. Anyways, and Tiger liked to run away. And the first time they found him all the way at the Lincoln Memorial, which is a ways away from the White House, like opposite end of National Mall. So yeah, but they found him, put him back, but the second time, Tiger disappeared into the ether. So they got another dog, cat named Blackie. But Blackie liked to bring home dead animals as gifts. And so Blackie spent most of the time in a shed outside.
Aww.
Like, they got to come into the kitchen and stuff, but they were a really inside
cat. One of my parents' cats would always bring rabbits, dead rabbits.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah, to the door.
Fun.
Fun to clean up, but at least we have good stew. I'm just kidding.
They also had birds, which, you know, I guess it's a good thing that the cats stayed outside in that case.
Yeah.
One of these birds was a mockingbird, which are illegal to own.
Ooh.
They are protected as like a migratory bird. And so once the president and first lady realized that their mockingbird was contraband, they had to quietly dispose of it to another family.
Ooh.
Because that would have been embarrassing for the first lady to be fined.
Yeah.
They also had an African oriole that the first lady had trained to eat food from her mouth.
Oh, hell no! No. She's a freak for real. That's disgusting. Oh, that's so... I hate that, actually. I hate that so much.
She's very quirky. There's more. They also got a gift on one time. The seven birds do not include the 13 Pekin ducks that they were given as a gift that the first lady raised or tried to raise in the bathroom for a while.
Oh, 13 of them?
Yeah. But they got too big, as ducks do, and so they were eventually removed from White House.
Imagine you're like the house cleaner who has to come and clean up the fucking first lady's 13 ducks.
13 duck shit, yeah.
Because you know that she wasn't doing it. There was some, like, poor, you know, staff person who probably had enough work to do cleaning the White House. And they're like, oh, by the way, the bathroom is full of, like, 13 ducks worth of crap.
Yeah.
Jeez Louise. That's I cannot imagine the stench of that room.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But the first lady's most famous pet was their raccoon.
Cute.
Named Rebecca.
Yes!
So Rebecca was another gift to the first family.
Mm-hmm.
And initially, the gift, this is tangentially related to the turkey pardoning, because the gift was given to them to eat. They were expected to eat this live raccoon for Thanksgiving.
Are you serious? Who eats raccoon?
It's a tangential related to Thanksgiving podcast episode, if you go back and listen.
Oh.
But basically, speed run that is, for like 30 years, there was a turkey farmer who was the guy that gave turkeys to the president to eat on Thanksgiving. Well, then he died, and so then there was like a 3-year period or so where everyone's trying to become the new guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're sending not just turkeys at this point. They just start sending all types of random shit, yeah, wanting the president to eat it.
Ew.
On this occasion, someone decided to send a raccoon because they're good eating, I guess.
Oh.
And
I mean,
the first lady did not think so.
You wouldn't know.
yeah, poor Rebecca.
So Rebecca was like, no, you're not going to get eaten. We're rescuing you. They built her a little treehouse to live in and would, like, walk her around on a leash.
A leash? That's how I feel when I walk George.
Real.
She has raccoon energy.
Yeah, for sure.
Let me see if I can find a picture.
I look at George's face sometimes, and I feel like I'm looking sometimes at a raccoon.
Here is Mrs. Coolidge with Rebecca, the raccoon.
Oh, my God. That's so cute. Oh, my gosh.
I'm sorry, you cannot tell me that does not look like my dog.
That does look like George.
She's so happy, Rebecca, in that picture.
Yeah. Oh.
She loved her Mrs. Coolidge. I want to be a raccoon.
That's so cute.
Are you
kidding me?
I love raccoons. Yeah. I mean, in theory,
honestly. So, anyway, she had the raccoon, and they were like, hey, Rebecca, you must be lonely. We'll get you a man's.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And so they got a raccoon named Reuben.
Reuben and Rebecca, that's so cute.
But Rebecca must have been crazy or Reuben did not want the domestic life. And so he ran away and it was just Rebecca. But, aww, you know, it's fine. She doesn't need no mans.
Yeah.
She was an independent lady. She told him to pack his bags.
Yeah.
She caught him cheating.
Yeah.
And that's Rebecca. She lived at the White House. The exotic pets that they were given, pets, air quote, mm-hmm, eventually got donated if they even lived there for any amount of time. We got a bear, we got a bobcat,
ooh,
the regular couple of lions.
Of course.
Got an antelope, a wallaby.
Whoa.
A pygmy hippopotamus.
Whoa.
Named Billy, which is short for William Johnson Hippopotamus.
Well, yeah.
Love.
Billy was donated to the National Zoo and was famous in becoming a stud, and is basically the ancestor for pretty much every pygmy hippopotamus in the United States today.
Wow, that's crazy.
He had like 23 kids. Word. And
was
like
he paying child support? Doubt
13
it.
Of them lived to adulthood, and most of them were named Gumdrop.
Huh? Why?
They just decided to name all of his children Gumdrop.
That's
disrespectful.
Oh. What'd you say?
That was disrespectful.
Oh.
That they named all of his kids Gumdrop.
Well, yeah, but it's still a cute name.
But it's like Gumdrop 3, Gumdrop 4, Gumdrop 5.
I know, yeah.
It's Gumdrop 15.
Imagine being
Gumdrop 15. I just think he had like such a serious name. You'd think his kids would have like serious names.
So
Gum is not a serious
Gumdrop,
name.
Gumdrop, no, I would say.
Compared to William Johnson Hippopotamus?
Yeah.
So, after the Coolidges moved out, we have the Hoovers move in. And Rebecca, you know, she had her little treehouse, but she didn't get to take the treehouse with her.
Aww.
So the treehouse was there, and a wild possum decided to squatter's rights. And so the Hoovers were like, oh, you're ours now. And adopted this wild possum and named him Billy Possum.
Yeah.
Aww.
Which apparently is like some meta joke from back in the day. Because in addition to teddy bears, President Taft was like, hey, I want something propaganda for me. Oh. And he liked to eat possums, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
And Bill. And so they made, some guys came up to him and was like, hey, can we make a toy? And have it, we'll sell it, and it'll be just like the teddy bear.
Yeah, no.
He thought he was going to do for possums with teddy
bears. And obviously it worked, right? Because everyone had a Billy Possum as a kid.
Yeah. I do remember loving Billy Possum from Mr. Rogers, but I have never otherwise heard of
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, so apparently it was like a really funny joke to name this possum Billy Possum. But
he really thought he did something with the possums.
And the Hoovers, their son... Guess what animal they brought home?
Alligators!
We got some alligators in the executive mansion once again.
Oh, yeah.
Why are there so many alligators coming through the White House?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty sure he's the last. Unless we've had secret gators.
It's like men love alligators the way they love Dodge Chargers.
Hello.
I mean,
I honestly, I'm not even joking. I think
I forgot Kelvin actually drives.
I don't drive a Charger.
Where do you drive? I thought you did.
I drive a Dart. It's still a Dodge.
Okay.
But
it's like practically the same thing.
No, but I really think that alligators are the most American animal.
I would disagree.
I really do think that.
What's your nomination, Ashlyn, for most American animal?
That's really tough. I would have to say like the rattlesnake.
That's a good answer.
That's a good answer.
That's a good, and it's like very like kind of, I feel like the rattlesnake, yeah, I kind of stand by that. Or like the buffalo, honestly.
Yeah, I was going to say
buffalo.
Pretty
iconic American animal.
Yeah. I feel like we kind of have to have it be buffalo, considering what we did to them.
True. But, okay, JK, my second choice is Allie.
Alligators are up there. Yeah. They're, considering that there's only American alligators and Chinese gators, so.
Yeah. Okay, what about the alligators that they brought home, the Hoovers?
They just lived in the executive mansion from time to time. I mean, they were their sons, so like if the son brought them, they would be there. But they weren't there permanently.
My parents barely let me bring my dog to their house. I cannot imagine if I was like, I'm rolling up with two gats.
Yeah. Two gats. Then after, you know, we had Hoover. Next in line is the second Roosevelt.
Woo!
And he has some good pet stories. He had several dogs.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was a German Shepherd named Major.
Cute.
That's cute.
Who was exiled from the White House for biting incidents.
Ooh.
Ah, yeah.
That's cute.
So cute.
And so his most famous pet was his pure black Scottish Terrier named Fala.
That's a pretty name.
Fala's full name was Murray, the Outlaw of Fala Hill.
Word.
Yeah.
Word.
And he went everywhere with FDR.
Aww.
And his antics were reported on frequently by the press. During the war, he starred in his own propaganda movie showing the war front from his point of view. Yeah.
That's
and
so cute.
He was, like, he would travel around the world to, like, different meetings with the different heads of states planning the war.
Oh my god.
And one of these incidents led to Fala's most famous moment, which came in September of 1944. And the president gave a campaign speech. And in the speech, the president addressed the rumors being circulated by Republicans that during one of these trips, Fala had accidentally been left behind in the Aleutian Islands
of
Alaska. And when FDR realized this, had subsequently sent a naval destroyer to go rescue him, costing millions of dollars to the American taxpayer.
I get that. If that was George, I would also do that.
I would do that too.
Sorry to the American taxpayers.
So FDR wanted to assure people that these were not true, and so in the speech he said, quote, "These Republicans have not been content with attacks on me, or my wife, or my sons. No, not that content with that. They now include my little dog, Fala. Well, of course, I don't resent attacks, and my family doesn't resent attacks, but Fala does resent them." You know, Fala is a Scotch, being a Scotty. As soon as he learned the Republican fiction writers in Congress had all but concocted a story that I'd left him behind on an Aleutian island and had sent a destroyer back to find him at the cost to the taxpayers of 2 or 3 or 8 or 20 million dollars, his Scotch soul was furious. He has not been the same dog since.
Oh.
I am accustomed to hearing malicious falsehoods against myself, but I think I have a right to object to a libelous statements against my dog.
Yeah.
Period. He said fake news.
He said fake news, you bitches.
Paula was not having it.
Yeah. And so this became like jokes about Fala being abandoned were common in the campaign that year. And, yeah, very funny jokes. But,
my dog's name.
Out your mouth. Yeah. And Fala, for all of his rewards, he is currently the only presidential pet who is memorialized on a monument with their president. The FDR monument in Washington, D.C. has him sitting there and Fala sitting right next to him. It's a very cute.
When I die, that's what I want on my grave. Me and a little statue of George. Pearl do.
And yeah, so you know, I said Major had been exiled for biting incidents. Well, that biting incident was attacking the British Prime Minister, so.
Let's go! Neville Chamberlain?
The one before him. So, I think it's Attlee or something, I don't know. But anywho, so next we got Truman, who had some great lines about dogs. He said, if you want a friend in Washington, get a dog. He also said, quote, children and dogs are as necessary to the welfare of this country as Wall Street and the railroads. Huh. Okay, sentiments, you know, whatever.
I mean, I don't really f*** with Wall Street like that, but okay.
You know, I see what you're getting at. But he did not live up by his words, typical politician. He was twice gifted puppies, and on both occasions, soon after, he gave them away because he preferred to live in a pet-free family. And so, yeah, the second time he did this, it actually, like, became a huge thing because I think the dog's name was, it was a Cocker Spaniel named Feller who was, like, mailed across country to be Truman's pet. And, yeah, the press loved Feller. And then Truman was like, take it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't use dogs for clout like that and then send them away.
Yeah. It was, yeah, it was a rough time. But he did seem to make some friends with squirrels on the White House grounds.
And Pete, like, the girl squirrel.
What a freak.
But I don't think they were allowed inside. So, can you really call them pets?
Yeah.
Then, after Truman, you get the Kennedys eventually.
Woo!
They had... There's a bunch of Kennedys, so there's a bunch of pets. Cats, dogs, hamsters. Even had a salamander at one point.
Hell yeah.
But their most famous dog was named Pushinka.
Okay,
Pushinka.
Which is Russian for fluffy.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Let me get you a picture of
Pushinka.
Her.
I'm saving that name for my own dog.
Here is Pushinka.
She's so cute.
She looks Russian too.
Is she a corgi?
She's a mutt dog. She was gifted to Kennedy as, like, a gift to show goodwill after they had a state dinner over
That's
in Europe.
So cute.
And even though Pushinka is a mutt, effectively, she does have pedigree because her mom was named Strelka, who was a freaking astronaut dog.
What?
And was one of the first animals, like, one of the first, like, two animals of any complexity to come back from outer space.
Oh my god. Hell yeah,
And had
Pushinka.
Puppies. One of them was Pushinka. So, Pushinka was given to the Kennedys as either a show of goodwill or be, like, a constant reminder of this dog's mom made it to space before any of
them. Or I went to space.
A spy.
That was a very serious concern. Before Pushinka was able to live with the Kennedys, she had to be thoroughly inspected by the CIA in order to make sure that she was not a spy. Went through x-rays and CAT scans and stuff to make sure she was not implanted with listening devices. But she was all good.
Yay, Pushinka!
And Pushinka would go on to have kids with one of the Kennedys' dogs.
Oh, I'm glad you ended that sentence.
And their pups were named the Pupniks.
Oh! Wait, this is so precious.
I love this
space
age.
This is what stopped the Cold War.
And there were four of them.
Space age dogs.
The Kennedy clan kept two of them. And then after they were like, we're trying to, like, we can't have all these dogs.
Yeah. Why not? Calvin Coolidge had 12.
I mean, right. Exactly. But 5,000 people, children of the public, rode into the White House being like, can I have your dogs?
Aww.
And so they gave them away to a couple of kids in the Midwest, a couple of them.
That's so sweet.
Wow, yeah, what a pedigree. Like, astronaut grandparents.
Yeah, right?
And then, like literally, Pushinka was a Kennedy.
Yes.
Pushinka Kennedy.
Very impressive. Next in line, LBJ.
My man!
He had a bunch of dogs. Yeah, I mean, that was really all he was notable for, having a bunch of dogs.
That was all he was notable for?
Yeah, that's in it? This sense. In this sense, yes. But he gave them funny little names.
I bet.
He liked beagles.
Mm.
So he had one named Edgar. Mm-hmm. Edgar. Freckles.
Aw.
Him and her.
That's funny.
And Little Beagle Johnson, or LBJ.
That's cute. My God, Little Beagle Johnson!
That's cute as hell. We know.
Also had a little dog, like a little mutt dog named Yuki, who he would entertain his guests by singing with Yuki.
Aww.
He would like sing along and she would howl.
Aww.
So yeah, it was a fun little time. There are also a lot of pictures of LBJ picking up his beagles by their ears.
Oh no.
As like a
can you do that?
Fun thing to do. And apparently it was very contentious at the time.
Yeah.
Of him grabbing his dogs by the ear because some people thought it was animal abuse and some people were like, how else are you supposed to grab a beagle, you know?
I think you can. I mean, not that I ever would, but like I think can you grab them by their ears? Like,
I'm sure they're fine. They're dogs.
I mean, it depends.
That
on how
really
much
is
force.
Telling about your attitude.
They have floppy ears that can be pulled, as long as it's not hard.
This is why the George you're never beating the George beef allegations.
Mm-hmm.
But sad story for one of the Beatles.
No.
Him did not last the presidency.
What with a name like that?
He was chasing a squirrel whenever he was run over by the presidential limo.
No!
The presidential limo?
Yeah.
At least it wasn't Little Beagle Johnson.
A Secret Service driver packed up.
That Secret Service driver hated those beagles. He was like, I see my chance and I'm taking it.
Yeah.
I'm tired of these damn beagles.
And then really ever since then, things have been pretty tame. Like, dogs, cats, you know, we don't have outlandish numbers or anything. Carter was last president to be gifted an elephant by somebody.
Oh, wow.
But it got sent to the zoo, obviously.
Ooh.
The
glue factory?
Yeah. Reagans and Bushes, they had ranches, so they had, like, horses and stuff. And,
wow.
But, you know, not anything super exciting. Trump made presidential pet news whenever he was the first one since Andrew Johnson to be completely petless. Even though I would say Truman qualifies, but still, that's a while.
Yeah.
And then we have our current president, Mr. Biden, who has had a few German shepherds. His first dog, Champ, died a few months into his term.
Aww.
And so he got a new dog named Major.
Aww.
Again, a German shepherd. But
named after the other one?
No.
Oh.
He was also exiled for biting incidents, though. So if I had a nickel for every time there was a German shepherd named Major living in the White House who had to be exiled for biting people, I would have two nickels.
Yeah, it's kind of a lot. Word.
I mean, it's not really a lot, but it's weird that it happened twice.
Yeah.
And then so after Major was exiled, a third German shepherd was adopted named Commander.
Ooh.
These are some dumbass names, I'm sorry.
Why are they all named, like, yeah, military, aggressive-ass names?
I guess, police dog aesthetic.
I'm naming my German Shepherd Pushinka.
Pushinka! Yeah.
Well, this third dog was also exiled for numerous biting incidents of Secret Service, so. There are currently no dogs residing in the White House.
Other than Mr. Biden himself.
Ooh!
He got that dog in him.
Got that dog in him.
Sorry. That was my guess, Hunter, but I guess he's not in there.
Yeah.
Sorry. If anybody got that dog in him. Woo.
They do have a cat named Willow.
Aww.
Who apparently likes to sleep on the president's face at night.
Huh.
Or like on his head.
Jillian's jealous.
And so,
that's her name, right?
You mean Jill?
Oh, yeah.
Joe Biden?
Joe Biden.
Sorry. Joe Mama?
Sorry.
Nice.
But that kind of rounds up the presidential pets.
Woo!
Being the end of the presidents. But, you know, we're not the only ones with pets politically. Apparently, the Canadian Parliament building hosted a colony of cats for, like, 90 years.
What? Interesting.
They just had, like, a colony of feral cats.
A colony.
That's what our friend group is like, basically.
But that ended in 2013.
Oh, that's sad. What, like, did they kill
them? I guess there's just, like, only 4 of them living there at that point, so they sent them off.
I was like, did they kill them? Like, that'd be kind of dark.
I don't think they killed them, though.
Like, were you smelling all these cats? That'd be horrible.
But if you go across the pond, we have another batch of famous political pets. Of course, during the reign of Queen Elizabeth II, she had a herd of corgis.
A herd.
Over her lifetime, she owned more than 30 of them.
That's crazy.
Wow, that's a lot of corgis.
And she even bred a couple of her corgis with her sister's dachshunds to get some dorgies.
Oh, that sounds really cute.
And, of course, due to the longevity of monarchs, there's not really, like, the same turnover and drama in the numbers slash types of pets.
Hmm.
And even the prime ministers don't really seem to have a large variety.
Boris J. didn't have any.
They're actually, though, they have adopted a prime minister pet system that, you know, kind of promotes this sense of continuity. The UK does have a prime minister, and that prime minister does not have a White House. They live in an apartment on 10 Downing Street.
Ooh, okay.
And for about 100 years, there have been cats living at this residence.
Okay.
The first official record of a cat living at 10 Downing Street, belonging to the residence and not to an individual person, was 1929. His name was Peter.
Oh, that's a cute name.
And he served as the cat at number 10 Downing Street until 1946. During the war, Winston Churchill also brought a couple other cats. Bob, the Munich Muncher.
Hello.
Oh, okay, word.
And Nelson both lived there. So there are 3 cats then.
Okay.
But they left with Churchill, and then after the war, Peter died. Peter was replaced by Peter II, who only served for about 6 months before he was hit by a car.
Oh.
And then he was replaced by Peter III. Oh. No, sorry. Peter III. And then Peter III was replaced with Petra. No, Peta. P-E-T-A.
Okay.
Who was then replaced by Wilberforce. And then Humphrey. After 1997, there was about a 10-year gap where there were no cats. In 2007, a cat named Sybil was brought to return the tradition of cats living at 10 Downing Street.
Okay.
But she only lasted 2 years, and then there was another gap. And then in 2011, there were a few televised incidents of rats running across the front steps of the residence.
No.
And so, quickly, a pro-cat faction developed to return a resident to deal with the issue.
Mm.
Larry stepped up to the task.
Oh, yeah.
Larry!
And ever since, he has been serving as the chief mouser to the cabinet office, officially.
Chief mouser!
There was a couple years there where Larry was joined by a friend named Freya.
Oh, that's a good name.
But
okay.
She has since left. But Larry has stayed strong, serving in the role.
Okay.
And apparently he is not the only chief mouser. Whenever Larry rose up to the role, it kind of sparked a, idea of like, oh, some of our other cabinet officials should have chief mousers. Their Foreign and Commonwealth Office, which is effectively the Secretary of State, they hired a chief mouser named Palmerston.
Aww. I love that.
In 2016.
Palmerston.
But Palmerston and Larry did not get along very well, and they had several fights.
They were beefing.
And so Palmerston retired from the role in 2020, because Larry was there first, so obviously. And so currently, the FCO does not have a chief mouser.
That's sad.
But the Treasury Office does have one named Gladstone.
Aww. Oh, that's cute.
Who is also still currently serving.
Serving.
But the tradition of chief mousers goes back even much further, even outside of the Prime Minister's residence, because in the 1950s, the post office headquarters in London had a chief mouser named Tibbs the Great.
Tibbs!
He was the Postal Service's, quote, number one cat. And he is credited with keeping the headquarters completely mouse-free for 14 years.
Oh my gosh. That's cute.
When he passed away, after a lifetime of eating mice, he weighed a whopping 23 pounds.
He was eating good. Cat.
He was eating good. He was probably also eating food from the kitchen.
That is
but
a cat.
The highlight of Tibbs's career came in 1952 because there was a public outrage that the cats in the Postal Service had not seen a pay raise since 1873.
Mm-hmm. Period. Give them their wages.
There was a question in the House of Commons brought to the Assistant Postmaster General named David Gammons, and he was asked, when are the allowances payable to the maintenance of cats in this department going to be raised?
Mm-hmm. He's asking the real questions.
His response was, there is, I'm afraid, a certain amount of industrial chaos in the post office cat world.
Of course.
Allowances vary in different places, possibly according to alleged efficiency of the animals and other factors. It has proved impossible to organize any scheme for payment by results of output bonus. We don't know how many cats they're getting. These servants of the states are, however, frequently unreliable, capacious in their duties, and liable to prolonged absenteeism. My honorable and gallant friend has been misinformed regarding the differences between the rates of cats in Northern Ireland and other parts of the United Kingdom. However, there is no post office cats in Northern Ireland, except for the cats at post office headquarters who get a special allowance a few years ago. Presumably for prestige reasons. There has also been a general wage freeze across all governments since July of 1918, but there have been no complaints from the cats.
That's so great.
And he also hastened to assure that the post office cats had an adequate maternity leave, and they were equal pay across all cats. So,
that's cute. It was really great. Also, your voice, your, like, cabinet minister voice was very good.
Oh, thank you. Thank
Much
you.
Gravitas for the
oh,
cat.
Thank you.
Letter.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, yes.
All right.
Great. So that rounds up my political pet stories. You know, we could spend a lot of time talking about all the different cats and dogs that have, like, been elected honorary mayors, or they ran as joke candidates for, like, the U.S. Senate or whatever.
Very cute. There's a town where they had a dog who was a mayor for a day.
Like multiple Minnesota. Towns that have been, like, they've had dogs for, like, 20 years or whatever.
I love that. That could be George.
Could be.
She's going to be the next mayor of Austin.
That?
Yes.
I'd vote.
I'm voting for her right now.
Yeah.
Casting my ballot.
And, you know, you also got the animal mascots of different military groups that, my favorite
military groups.
Yeah, so like my favorite is Sir Niles Olav III, the Baron of the Bouvet Islands.
Love his title.
He is an emperor penguin who also serves as colonel in chief to the King's Guard in Norway.
Oh my god, that's so cute.
So yeah, you know,
that's a great one.
Yeah.
I have to throw in if we're talking about, like, military dogs.
I mean, obviously, Reveille from Texas yes. A&M. Yeah, I mean...
Iconic legend.
If college football has taught us anything, live mascots work.
We love her. She is everything to us.
If, you know, if the president had a good pet, we would all unite as a country. Civil War would not have yes. to be a thing on our radar.
True. It's like, because the thing is, like, with a dog, like, yes, you can, like, hate every policy a president has, but, like, as a nation, whenever there's a good dog, like, the dog, I'm thinking of the dog that we were talking about that was, like, so popular, he was...
Bo?
No, FDR's
Laddie
dog.
Boy.
Laddie
or,
Boy.
Or Fala, yeah.
The one that had, like, war propaganda.
Yeah, we need Fala back.
Yeah, like, because even if everyone hates your, like, the president, you can all be like, well, we love that damn dog. We love that dog.
Yeah. So,
The real question is, do you think George could be such a people's princess of,
yes,
of dogs?
Your president?
When I'm sure, yes.
Are you going to have any other exotic pets other than just, like, a dog or a cat when you're president? Are you going to try to, like, bring back the gators?
Oh, yeah. Salamanders, elephants, emperor penguins.
Emperor penguins is great. My first animal I would try to get would be trying to get the pandas back on loan from China.
I think they're sending back us some.
No, they're, like, taking them all away.
I thought I saw that they're sending some back to, like, San Diego or something.
I thought I saw that they're, like, it's, like, a symptom of kind of frosty U.S.-China relations, and they're taking them all back, but I could be wrong. But that's the last thing, that was the last update I heard about it, like, a month ago.
Yeah.
I hope that we get to keep some.
Are headed to San Diego Zoo.
Oh, good,
February
okay.
22nd.
So. Yay, I'm glad that we're keeping some of them.
I mean, China still technically owns them. Which is kind of whack, but...
I think
it makes sense because they're an endangered species, so...
Well, they're also, like, from China. We have them because they, like, gave them to us on loan.
Yeah.
Can we just secretly, like, breed them?
No.
I think, actually, like, so...
I'm Jay. That'd be funny.
I think Mexico has one panda that China does not own because it was, like, bred in Mexico before China was like, we own all pandas now.
Bum, bum, bum.
Word! We need to sneak a panda in. I'm kind of... You're Kelly, maybe you're right.
Is that Kung Fu Panda?
Could be.
Kung Fu Fighting.
Hwah!
On that note...
Yeah, we're going long. We need to end it. So,
I'm eepy.
Thanks for listening. I hope you all enjoyed. If you did, tell your friends about us. Like I said, there's other episodes tangentially related, previous episodes that you can go listen to.
The Thanksgiving episode came up many times.
Yeah, Thanksgiving, Theodore Roosevelt, all fun stuff. And if you want to do any research into the topics discussed today, I'll leave some stuff down in the show notes for y'all. And, as always, our music is by Mountaineer. You can find their stuff and more on upbeat.io. We'd like to acknowledge that we are recording this podcast on land that rightfully belongs to the Kiowa, Comanche, Konkwa, and other indigenous peoples. And until next time, we'll see you down the rabbit hole.
Bye.
Bye-bye.